Welcome to Books in the Biz, the show where real-world business meets real-world results. Hosted by business strategist Dan Paulson and veteran CFO Richard Beltry, this podcast breaks down the stories, trends, and financial insights shaping today's companies. Dan brings decades of experience helping leaders simplify operations, build strong cultures, and scale with confidence. Rich adds his deep financial expertise from guiding organizations across healthcare, construction, logistics, and professional services. Together, they dig into what's really happening behind the numbers and what it means for owners, executives, and anyone trying to grow a stronger, smarter business. This is practical conversation, real talk, and tools you can use right now. Welcome to Books in the Biz.
Hello, welcome back to Books in the Biz. Rich, how are you doing this fine Thursday?
I'm doing very well. All good.
All good. Excellent. Recovered from your tax season. Finally
yes,
able to
absolutely.
Breathe. Excellent. Good deal. Hey, I got some exciting news. I have a legitimate copy of my book in hand.
Nice.
So the book is done. For those who don't know, I wrote a book called Escape the Owner's Trap, which talks about how you get out of your own way and actually put systems and process in place that actually work and stick. So I encourage you to check it out. You can find it on Amazon at Escape the Owner's Trap. If you type that in, you type in Dan Paulson after it, I guarantee it will pop up. So that's my plug for this. It is officially live now, and you can get it in hardcover, softcover, or Kindle. So you can get it whatever way you want outside of audio. That's the only way I haven't done that. Anyway, Rich, we are going to talk about process today. This is something we both have experience in and situations we both run into where maybe the process was supposedly there, but it really wasn't. What do you see from the financial side? Where are the process breakdowns happening in your world?
QuickBooks.
Dreaded QuickBooks.
Yeah.
I charge you more, it does less. We'll go for that.
Yeah, I think that the places where I see it a lot are where people think that something's doing something and it's not actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because that's what they wanted to do, but they didn't test to make sure it's actually doing it. Things like outside systems posting to QuickBooks that you think are happening, but just because you think they're happening, let's check and make sure that they're there.
Yep.
You know, some of the things that if the process is not working, you think your numbers are great and they actually aren't because the numbers are built off the process.
Right.
So, you know, I had a company that was their payroll company was posting their payroll entry and then the bank came in, used the bank feed and actually fed the payroll entry again. So you wound up with double the payroll and nobody caught on to the fact that there was double the payroll. So the process broke down and now you had numbers where everybody thought, well, we're not doing as great as we thought we would be doing because they had double the payroll in the reports. And when it finally got fixed, they went, oh, we made a lot more money than we thought we did. So
that tells me nobody was looking at the bank account either. So they weren't in your barrel of fish philosophy on that one. Which
no,
is good.
No. So it became... the only thing I kept saying to them was, well, imagine if it was something that was a process that went the other way.
Yeah.
You know, because if it went the other way, you wouldn't have this reserve money that was covering you. You would have pretty big problems with, you know, something didn't go out on the billing side, let's say, and nobody paid you. And all of a sudden the barrel got drained.
Well, I've had situations and, you know, hate to kind of pick on QuickBooks a little bit here, but there's situations where stuff was done through ACH, but didn't post properly. So I had similar to this, but you know, here's the opposite of it. I go ahead and I accept the payment because I know the payment came in. and for whatever reason, it hung out there in the ether and didn't post properly. So now QuickBooks is saying, hey, you still have these funds out there. Click on them and close them out. And of course, stupid me, go ahead. You know, that cancels everything out. Well, then that doubled my income, not the other way around. So now I'm looking at it going, well, where'd all this money go? And sure enough, you know, there's a double entry. You know, fortunately, I caught it within a couple of weeks before anything serious happened. But still, you're looking at your bank account going, okay, I'm good for this month. I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, $10,000, $15,000 that isn't really there. It's phantom money. And that is never a fun feeling, especially when you're paying bills going, okay, I'm going to take care of all this stuff. And oh, crap, now I'm a little lower than I expected. So I understand that completely. You know, I deal with process a lot as well. From the operation side, it can be a number of things, and it's not always directly related to the financial like you, but eventually it percolates there. So it can be something, I was just thinking, we were kind of talking about this before we jumped on. There is a mechanic shop that I work with, and they brought me in specifically to work on the processes because they have stuff documented, but nobody was following them, and they couldn't understand why. And we started looking at it, and what they think they have documented either is documented in such detail that nobody is going to follow it. And so this is what people need to understand. Just because you have everything documented and 16 different ways that it can be done properly doesn't mean people are going to actually go through it and read it, because most people are in the moment and they just want it done. The other thing is there's certain assumptions that might be made, similar to your discussion. So in their case, they're a small town dealership. You know, customers come in. A lot of times they know these customers, might even in some cases be related to these customers. So they make assumptions that, you know, their phone numbers, their emails, and their addresses never change. Well, guess what? People move. People get new phones. People change jobs or change their email accounts. And if that stuff doesn't get updated, now they're sending information out to the wrong people, which in, you know, here's your situation, might delay payment, might lead to not getting payment at all. You name it. It could be a number of problems there, but ultimately affects customer experience, which, you know, if the customer doesn't think you have your act together, sometimes they're going to decide, well, I'll go somewhere else that maybe is more with it than these guys are. So there's a lot of different ways that process can affect things. You know, from a financial side, I'm sure your CFO work now kicks into how do you help people put in processes that are actually followed? I want to hear your side of it, and then I talk about what I do.
I can tell you how you put in processes that get broken.
Well, maybe start there. That's the first thing.
So I went to work for a pretty big company that was doing build outs on warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during COVID.
Okay.
And one of the early things about COVID was everybody kind of locked down, right? Everything yep. got to the point where, hey, be safe with everything and watch everything, because this is a new territory. This isn't our normal procedure. And the other thing was everybody was working from home. So that also screwed up the procedures, because when you're sitting there with everybody in the office, it's a little easier to turn around and ask a question than it is to, oh, wait a minute, I gotta get somebody on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this company that basically, you know, somebody was working from home and became a computer sniper, right? They basically sent a tracker in on somebody's email, and somebody clicked on the link, and it put a tracker in their computer, and they were the guy that was in charge of sending out big construction wires.
Mm.
So they would get the list of, here's all the payments we're going to make this week, and these are all the payments we have to set up in the bank. And so the tracker is watching, when are you going to send out a big wire? And he sends a email to this guy that says, hey, you're going to be sending us a wire of this amount, and we changed our bank, and we need you to change the banking information to send it to a different bank. So the guy's looking at it, is this legit? Shows it to another guy, basically sends the email to another guy and says, you know, does this look legit? The second guy says, sure, it looks legit to me. And then they take it to the supervisor who sends the wire and says, this is what we got. Who says, did you verify it? And they said, yes, but they verified it by email.
And between themselves, not with the customer.
So who got the email was the tracker. And the tracker sends it back and says, this is legit. This is us. We're all good. So what do? They send out a wire of $1.5 million, right, to the wrong bank because it's the bank of the tracker. Okay. And it basically everybody thought, yay, we did a great job. It's all done. You know, this is fabulous. Until a month later when the contractor calls and says, hey, where's that wire? But they got a month out of it. Okay. That $1.5 million, good half of it was gone. Some of it was still in the bank account and there was FBI involved. There was local police involved. They said the airport security was involved. And I don't know why airport security was involved. No one ever explained that part to me.
Because money is going out in wrapped bills.
Yeah, probably.
Suitcases. Yeah.
That's probably right. So, you know, clearly you could sit there and say, well, that was a financial mistake.
Yep.
Ultimately, you could say it was a financial mistake because it was the financial department, but it was a process breakdown. Because the process was, if that comes in, you call.
Yes.
Not you email. Okay. And there's a reason for that. The very specific reason was you make the phone call because you get independent, separate verification from where the first process came in. Yep. So process needed to be fixed. And eventually some people lost their jobs because of that simple mistake. Had you picked up the phone, everything would have been completely fine. Money never would have went out. No one would have known about it. But, you know, I got news for you. When we did that audit at the end of the year, you want to know what everybody wanted to talk about? The $1.5 million.
The $1.5 million. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's I think where, you know, we become too reliant on technology, and technology changes all the time, and people find easier ways to, you know, basically break into the system. Because what you're talking about, I've heard multiple times. You know, you get an email, it looks legit, looks good, looks like it came from the person. I've had that happen to me a couple times. And I would reply back, but I'd reply back in a way that, you know, I know what answer I should get. And when you get the generic, no, it's me, it's fine. Okay, there's a problem here. And then you pick up the phone and you call. But people get too trusting of those emails, which can easily be spoofed. And you can check everything. It looks like it's coming from the right account, but it's not. And that's where you got to be really, really careful. I don't know how many times you get emails in a week that are obviously coming from somewhere else. Apparently, McAfee has a big thing for me right now that I haven't paid a bill, because about 3 emails a day come through saying I owe them money or they're shutting down my cloud service that I don't have. So it's an interesting situation, but you know, the average person is, you know, this is a little off topic because, you know, this is where elderly people get in a lot of trouble, because I know dealing with my mom who didn't grow up in the computer era and now is dealing with all this technology. She'll send me an email and say, is this legit? What should I do with that? I'm like, do not do anything with it. Delete it. Don't follow it. This is not good. Yeah. But you just don't realize that. And I think, you know, when we look at, you know, you're talking about a company, a contractor that obviously is doing a lot of work, passing a lot through, it becomes easier to slip some of that stuff by because there's so much going on. And as you point out, it's now even more complicated because not everyone's in the office. So you can't physically see, touch what's going on. Everyone's kind of working remotely in their own little bubble. And that's where a lot of mistakes happen. I know there was a lot of that going on during the COVID era, but it's still trickling out there. It is.
Oh yeah. Someone, like you said, someone tried it with me yesterday. I got 3 different emails all telling me that my email inbox, a password was expiring yesterday. It was expiring. You have to do something like right now. But one of them, usually I click on the header because usually you can try to see, you know, who did it really come from?
Yeah.
It's not a Microsoft address or it's not a McAfee address. it's just some random address. And I'm scrolling down in one of the emails, and at the bottom, I caught somebody's conversation that they were having with somebody completely different. And it just happened to be where they bounced it off of his email. So there's a string of emails of somebody having a full-blown conversation at the bottom. And I'm like, yeah, that's not legit. Delete. So
yeah. Well, the worst time is when they catch you and you're busy doing something. Because I've had this with credit cards. You know, your credit card password is expired. You need to renew, which in some cases is a legit thing. But what I've learned is you never go through that email. I'll go directly to the website and go in that way and see if there's a legitimate thing there. Because even if it is a legitimate email, it still raises concerns, because especially with AI now, they've gotten so good at mimicking what would actually come through. Usually the only giveaway is typically it's just addressed to user, where the legitimate emails usually use your full name or your user account or something in there that distinguishes it. But still, it's crazy how that's going. But I imagine there's, you know, times where you experience this from a financial side where you have to put process in place. So one of the things you just talked about was, you know, you always use a secondary method to verify something, especially when it's a financial transaction. You don't go back through the same email. You make a phone call, you pick it up, you talk to somebody. What are some other processes that maybe from an accounting side companies are, I don't want to say negligent on, but maybe, you know, some degree don't understand what they should be doing? I mean, some of the things that I see, you know, when it comes to adding a piece of equipment, you know, so we'll pick on QuickBooks a little bit more. QuickBooks doesn't make it easy to add a piece of equipment, set up an amortization schedule, and handle the transaction of, you know, when you make those payments, where does that go into? I'd be curious, you know, what sort of procedures do you have to get in place to make sure simple things like that just get taken care of properly, so they don't create a nightmare for you when it comes to be tax time and you got to go ahead and figure out what somebody did.
Well, I have one that's brand new that shouldn't be an issue, but it is.
Those are the best ones.
Reconcile your bank account.
Ah.
And in QuickBooks makes it relevant. If you have your QuickBooks attached to your bank's, you know, to your bank account, reconciliation can be pretty easy. It'll do most of the work for you.
Yep.
You know, and it'll make sure that all the transactions are posted. That's the key. You reconcile because you want to see if anything was not posted or anything that was duplicated. And if you don't do the reconciliation process, you're scratching your head saying, why is this number not right? Why does it say I have 20 grand in the account, but I've got negative 280,000 in the QuickBooks? You know, and that's real numbers off of somebody I had a conversation with that basically, why haven't you reconciled your bank account?
Yep.
Like, you've never reconciled your bank account. And here's the scarier part. You had an accounting firm or a bookkeeper that was working for you doing all this stuff, and it's not reconciled. So, that's like step one, because you just want to make sure that there's nothing missing. The second part of that is reconcile it, but look at the report.
Mm.
Because when you reconcile it, if there's something that was, if there's something that was not cleared, if there's an extra transaction in there, it'll still reconcile because it'll carry that forward.
Right.
It'll take that missing item. Oh, nobody cleared that this month. It'll probably clear next month.
Right.
More and more nowadays, reconciliations are not based on checks. So what's waiting? Like, what's gonna suddenly show up next month that's in the books this month, but then it's gonna clear the bank next month? Everything seems to clear the banks so much faster. You know, somebody sends you a check, it's usually cleared in a few days. Not, you know, it has to be a really odd check for the bank to put a 10-day hold on it anymore. You know,
correct. Yeah.
So, you know, and those are really annoying because everybody's not used to it anymore. It's not like it used to be. But, you know, you put a transaction in that never cleared the bank and then you leave it there. 5 months from now, you're wondering, what happened to that? What is going on?
Yep.
because it's still there. QuickBooks doesn't get rid of it for you. You know, that's the manual part about the QuickBooks. You know, that's where you start to question when everybody says, oh, you know, AI is coming to take over all your books. And you're going, AI don't even know to do that because the people don't know to do that. So nobody's right. training the AI to do that. So again, those are that's actually the big one that's been coming up lately because I see more and more people. Why have you not reconciled the account? You know?
That one, yeah. And that one's, to me, odd because, as you point out, they have a bookkeeper. Isn't that part of the bookkeeper's responsibility is to make sure all the accounts balance at the end of the month?
Yeah, it should be. And that leads me to, you didn't tell your bookkeeper what your process was because you thought you didn't have to, but you really do. This is what's included, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what, you know, that's what I would see. I'm like, okay, you're reconciling the account, right? I don't have to worry about that, right?
It sounds like Rich needs a process to give to his clients or a checklist to give to his clients. Here's what you need to do each month to make sure that we're staying on top of things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this is where checklists to me can be valuable. And, you know, I have customers or clients that roll their eyes when I talk about checklists, because at the same point, you don't create a checklist for everything, but you do create a checklist for certain repeatable processes that it would be really easy for certain steps to get missed. So let's take the auto shop again, for example. Just simple process of, you know, what's the opening procedure, what's the closing procedure? And you think, well, you know, they do the same thing every day, all the time. Why would they need a checklist for it? Well, guess what? You get busy. You get busy, Rich. I get busy. And the busier you get, the more you tend to take shortcuts, whether you want to or not. Because when you start getting in a hurry, you're looking ahead to whatever you need to take care of outside of what you're working on right now. And that's where simple steps would get missed. You want to make sure those simple steps are covered. And the checklist is an easy reminder that you know, here's what we do when we open up. Okay, just look through the list. Did we do everything? Okay, we're good. Check it off. Fine. When we leave at the end of the night, do the same thing. Because there were certain things that were getting missed. Obvious stuff. But again, you know, they're a busy shop. Cars are coming in. Cars are going out. They're trying to finish up work at the end of the day. And they forgot to turn a compressor off, for example. Just throwing that out there hypothetically. So that gets missed because now it's wasted electricity. In some cases, you know, maybe the furnace didn't get turned off in the wintertime or shut down to a lower temp. Now you're burning extra fuel. That's wasting money. So there's a lot of things here that now we move it over to the financial side affects costs, profits, and could eventually affect sales as well. So a simple checklist is something that you can do. But again, you can't make 1,000 checklists. You just got to look at where are the more common mistakes happening. Yeah. What I've really been walking through, and this is where technology is a good thing, not that you can necessarily use AI for it, but AI could give you a start. You can put into chat, what procedures should I be looking at for doing a task? And it will give you a list, and that list will be somewhat accurate, but you can't trust that list to be your list. So you really need to look at it and say, does this apply to me or does it not? But big technology is everyone's walking around with a computer in their pocket that has a pretty nice camera and video recorder on it. So what I've encouraged people to do is first you write down what the process is and then videotape yourself actually doing the steps or doing the process. Another thing you can use is Zoom because you can record on Zoom. So if it's a computerized process, and in their case, one of the steps we were working on was utilizing their CRM, their software. Well, it's real easy when you go into Zoom and you hit record and you bring up the share screen, you can see where the cursor is going. And as long as that person who's actually going through the process is explaining what they're doing at a time, you now have a visual record that you could share with somebody else. And where these become really important is when you have new hires. You know, biggest problem I see in most companies is new hires don't feel like they get the training that they should. Somebody explains something to them once, and then they're expected to be able to do it perfectly from that point forward. And as you know, there are certain situations where you might do something once a month once a quarter, once a year. This is especially true in the financial side of things. I mean, you know, you've got quarterly reports that go out, you have end of year reports that go out. And if that person's not doing that on a regular basis, you know, something like a 940 or 941, you know, how often do you do that? Once every 3 months or once a year?
Yeah.
It's real easy to forget what to do. And on top of it all, government likes to change stuff a lot. Yeah. So the form from 1 year to the next almost always changes and something gets added to it. And I can just, you know, get back in your world, the 941s used to be a fairly simple two-page form. It's now like a four or five page form, and there's a bunch of extra boxes you need to fill in and a bunch of extra information. Well, guess what? If you didn't have a process for that, you got to kind of figure it out. And guess what? The next year, you're going to have to figure it out again because you're going to completely forget what you did the last year. So that's where documentation becomes critically important, and also where videotaping yourself going through that. And, you know, in your world on a financial document, why did we enter this? Why is this number here? How do we get to this number? You can sit there and actually explain that and get people to understand. So it gives you a lot more detail than you would if you wrote out the process and tried to record all that detail, because that's where people lose it, is they'll see a six-page document for something that should take 5 minutes to do, and they're just going to roll their eyes and do whatever to get the outcome that they want. And to me, that's where process breakdowns tend to happen the most.
Yeah. And no power ticking. We used to
call ticking.
We used to call it power ticking. You'd have a checklist that you were going through and you had to sign off on each task. And you were doing something with a tax return or a report that you were checking, and you were going through the checklist, and people would look around. Anybody looking? Yeah. And they put their initials on the first one and just kind of
line right through everything. Yep.
I did all that. It's all done. Until you get caught. Get caught that it, you said you did this, but it's wrong and you got caught, and now you have to explain why you signed off on it. So,
and that's the other step where accountability comes in, because most owners or leaders don't hold people accountable and don't do regular check-ins. Now, regular check-ins doesn't mean you're micromanaging, but you still need to follow up with people to make sure it's done properly. Back to the checklist I talked about earlier. We put it in place, went by a couple weeks. I'm looking at the checklist. I'm looking at the guy sitting there. I'm like, so does this get done on a regular basis? And one guy says, oh, yeah, sure, we do it all the time. The other guy kind of looks at me side-eyed and go, well, we did it today, but we haven't done it for the last couple days. I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do tomorrow? Well, we're going to do the checklist. So you get... This is where you just have to step in and question those things early on, so you don't hit a situation down the road where, oh crap, now we have to waste a bunch of time and energy to make a correction. It's especially true in your world because, yeah, a month could go by, 2 months could go by, and yes, you get those numbers, and it might be hard to remember how you got to those numbers in the first place if you haven't put a checklist. Well, good. I think we talked about a lot of good stuff here. What's kind of your takeaway from all this? Do your reconciliation, I think, was a big one. Make sure there's no double entries or make sure.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, and that's recent, so it's very difficult for me to not bring that one. But if that's not part of your process, make it part of your process. But realize that processes are there for a reason. I think that's the biggest thing that I take away from it. You know, you don't always know what the reason is, but there is one. You know, someone thought it was important enough to put that in the process, because in my example, you know, call, don't email, call. Why? Because we just showed you the example of what happens when you just kind of follow along. You didn't know you were getting, you know, you were getting rooked, and you got rooked. So, you know, just, you know, the process is just as important as the result.
Yep. And that, again, is where the accountability comes in, because I will also place in that situation some of the blame on the leadership that they did nothing to reinforce that on a regular basis. And this is where a lot of shortcuts get made. We all take shortcuts. I take shortcuts. Rich, you take shortcuts. This discussion I had yesterday on another podcast is shortcuts are a normal part of the thing. And sometimes they're good, but many times as you accumulate shortcuts to make the job easier, you neglect the process, and that's where mistakes happen, and those mistakes can be costly. Rich, if they need help getting procedures in place, especially financial procedures, who do they contact?
Give me an email at rich@xcxo.net.
And if you have other procedures in place or want to figure out a better way to record your processes, give me an email at dan@xcxo.net. Rich, this has been good. We will talk to you again next week with, I'm sure, more exciting information. And have a great weekend.
Same to you.